All right, so today's message is an introduction to Colossians. I'm actually going to use the pointer today, but it disappeared on me a little bit. So before I get into it, though, I think it's interesting. The church in Colossae, and you'll hear other people say it different. I used to always say Colossia. Colossae is what I hope you're going to hear from me today as I keep saying it. But it was a small city. It was kind of almost a forgotten city because there's another larger city that kind of took over its major role. And there's a whole bunch of minor pieces, what we would consider. You know, the big hitters weren't necessarily involved in this. It wasn't the big hitter city. It wasn't the big hitters going there. It took the little people to go out and spread the good news to them. And Jesus looks for all of us to help him. So I just want to lay that foundation. I'm going to get into that more in the introduction here. So introduction to Colossians, Colossians 1, 1 through 8. I have a site map of Colossae here. So you've got Colossae there. Man, you can really tell how I shake with this thing, can't you? Okay, now Ephesus was 100 miles away. Laodicea is only 10 miles away. What's that? Okay. I thought I said something wrong, which wouldn't surprise me, but so anyway, you could see some of these big hitters here, Thessalonica, Corinth, Philippi, you know, all those there. So I'll get into that a little more about Laodicea being right near it. Okay, so the Church of Colossae was established around Paul's third missionary journey. While Paul was in Ephesus, about 100 miles from Colossae, Epaphras went to Colossae and proclaimed the good news. And Epaphras was probably a Gentile from Colossae because Paul says in Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you. So he's attributing him to be one of the people from there. A couple other important brothers we read about in Scripture also were involved with the church in Colossae, Archippus, Philemon, Onesimus. And this epistle means letter. This epistle was written by Paul while he was in prison in Rome, and Epaphras, so when you look into this church history, you start hearing people you really trust in their investigation, but sometimes they differ. Rick talks about this a bit. Some say Epaphras was just visiting Paul when this to draw this letter out, or he was actually in prison himself in Rome at the time of this letter. It was written, they believe, around 60 to 62 AD, which was about 2 to 4 years after Paul's third missionary journey, and it was delivered by Tychicus and Onesimus, who also carried Paul's letters to the Ephesians and to Philemon at the same time. So they were carrying all these letters out to the church. And I want us to really pay attention to that. So Paul's writing the letters, but look at all these people that we don't spend so much time learning about, because I think we can relate to those people. We're not a bunch of Pauls in here. And we can think, well, and I've had people quote this, well, it's okay for Paul to say that or Paul to do that, but it's not okay for you to do that. Well, the Holy Spirit's in all of us. The Holy Spirit wants to use every one of us. And maybe, just maybe, the Holy Spirit used Epaphras so Colossae heard the gospel message. And I'm sure God is going to use you to spread the gospel in unique areas that maybe no one else would go, because we are part of God's perfect plan. So please notice each person God is using to get the word of God out to all the different churches in these early days. Like I said, we talk a lot about Paul, as we should, but God used many others to assist Paul in his ministry, and he wants to use every one of us. And don't we all want to be used, actively involved in a thriving church? God wants to use each of us. And we're all different. We all are in different situations. We're all uniquely and wonderfully made. We all have different challenges right now. Some of us, we're just trying to keep our head above the water. We're barely doing it. We might be dealing with habits, bad habits, and we're trying to change those bad habits into good habits. So maybe we're spending a little more time on getting ourselves straight, preparing ourselves so we can be of more use to God. You can always be of use to God, though, because you're never going to be perfect. So to wait until you're perfect to share the good news. Because you're never going to do it. Just like parenting. You're never ready. You are never ready. But some are in prison right now. Believers, born-again believers in prison. Some by their own doing. Some because they're serving Christ, like Paul. Some are free. Some may have the time, resources, and energy now. Others may be struggling. Maybe struggling to help other brothers and sisters or unbelievers get out of the hole they're in. We all are in different situations, and God knows exactly where you are and what you need, and he's preparing you for something else. Until the day he calls us home, we are invincible until God says differently. Do not walk around in fear. All of us are born again followers of Jesus, and God knows all these things, and he will use all of our situations as he wills it. He's allowing things in. He's helping us overcome other things. He steps in and protects us when he needs to. God is in control, but we are not all under his control. That's why we can sin. That's why we have free will. That's why we're allowed to do these things. But that does not mean God is not in control. God is in control. And we need to turn down the world's volume, and we need to make sure we are listening for when he calls us, that we listen to his call and we obey it and we go where he tells us to do, where he wants us to go and what he wants us to do. So Paul here was discipling these men. Many of these men mentioned here, they weren't disciples because they were just good listeners, but because they listened and they took what they listened and they learned and they turned it into faith in action. I really want to make sure we don't ever walk out of here and think, that was a good teaching. I listened to it. I've done my duty for the week. It's not the point. We're supposed to go out into the world that's getting darker and darker and be an example to them, like these men here. You don't have to be a Paul. Anyone who has the Holy Spirit is prepared and ready to be a light into this dark world. So they went and lived this life of God as disciples, full of the Holy Spirit. They lived it with such zeal and passion that it spread to others, and it caused them to be persecuted by the enemies of the gospel. We really don't want people to be indifferent to us who are enemies of the gospel. We want them to see us as a threat. Amen? And deep down, I believe we all want to be an active part of that. And we can be. We have to study. We have to listen. We have to pray. We have to fellowship all the more with one another. We have to take all that, mix it together, and go out into the communities and let them see and hear the good news. Let them see the love that we have for one another. Let them see that we are willing to forsake our own pleasures and luxuries for their benefit. I'm willing to lay that down for their benefit. When you go counterculture, that's what gets people's attention. When you do what everyone else does, well, everybody does that. Everybody loves their family. Everybody does these things. We got to stand out through the Holy Spirit. We got to live this life for Jesus in our actions and in our words. And even in these days, we have some talking about apostles. I'm getting ahead of myself. In these days, we have some who started well and fell away. And I've mentioned this guy many times, and later in this letter, you're going to hear about him. We talk about Demas. He was in this letter, he was actually still in good standing with Paul in the church. This is such a sad thing. Every time I read about him, I'm like, man, it's so interesting to hear about how Paul's talking about him in this letter and other letters. And then he left. And he reminds me of the seed that fell on the thorny soil. And the cares of this world and the deception of riches choked it out, and he bore no fruit. Now, hopefully, Demas got it figured out before the end, but the Bible doesn't tell us that. The scriptures don't tell us that, so we don't know how it ended. I sure hope we see him one day. I hope he figured it out. I hope all of us figure it out. Okay, and if you want that reference for the thorny soil, that's Mark 4:19. So that brings me to the speaking of choked out thorns, cares of the world. That brings me to the Laodicean church, which again was only 10 miles away from Colossae. an interesting, Colossae was kind of a big deal long ago, and then Laodicea kind of overtook it with its purpose, so that's what made Colossae kind of fall to the wayside and become kind of a smaller town, almost forgotten, but not by the Lord, not by the Lord. So this letter that was written was actually to be shared by with both churches. Paul says, this letter to the church in Colossae, share with the Laodicean church. And then there was another letter written to the Laodicean church. I think I mentioned this later in the message. But that one was supposed to be read to the church in Colossae. So they had similar issues, similar problems, and they were supposed to swap the letters. We don't know where that other letter is. And then there's some opinions on what that is. I'll get into that later. So they were so close to each other, they were dealing with the same issues. Okay, so there's some introduction, some background. We're about to go through the verses. So if you'd please stand, I'll read the verses for today. Colossians 1, 1 through 8. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it is also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. This is the word of God.
Praise be to God.
Lord, please guide me in this message. Open our hearts and minds to what you have in store for us, Lord. Help us to take these words seriously. And Lord, help us to be stirred up to not take you for granted, to not become complacent with how awesome and wonderful you are and what you've done for us. And Lord, help us to go out and make a difference in our circles of influence. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So verse 1, stay true to God's call in your life. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. So Paul is greeting the Colossians like he does in many of his other letters. And he's identifying himself as the author of this letter, while Timothy, who served with Paul, was most likely writing down Paul's words. And a little side note, whenever you hear these people who say, well, Paul didn't write, we don't think Paul wrote that letter, we don't think this person wrote that letter, a lot of times it's because there was someone recording the words. They were the author, but someone else, like a secretary, was writing those words down. So just keep that in mind and don't just like read that stuff and go, oh, I guess Paul didn't write this. You dig in, you seek God, you'll find the truth. Okay, so Timothy was most likely the one writing these words down. And this was common, so when you, I already said that to you, sorry. Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. That's the most important part of this beginning greeting, by the will of God. You know, kind of like what I was saying before, you're never going to be good enough or perfect enough to be worthy of the gospel on your own accord. Same thing with God's calling. If you look at what Paul was before God called him to be an apostle, he was a murderer. He was chasing down the church. He was persecuting Jesus Christ and his church. But God's call surpasses all of that. So don't let others, don't let your flesh, don't make excuses. When you know the call in your life, just accept the call. God knows what he's doing. Amen? Okay, so there have been many throughout history claiming to be something special, and there are many today who claim to be something special. Some today are claiming to be apostles or something else, prophets, different things. And anyone can claim it. It's easy to say a lot of things, isn't it? It's easy to say, I love you, and then spend no time with you, mistreat you, take you for granted. It's easy to say the words. It's harder to do it. It's harder to do it. And that goes the same with the call of God. Are you an apostle? Those people who claim this thing, are you an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, etc.? by the will of God, that's where the rubber meets the road. So don't just listen to people who just claim to be something they're not. We must seek God in these things. We must be honest with ourselves. We know, hopefully all of us know, we're not going to lie and deceive people by claiming to be something we're not. But sometimes we have to be honest with ourselves. You can't just will in yourself to do something, a calling of God. God has to call you to it. Just be true and honest to the calling that he gives you. And the main point I wanted to make sure at the beginning was, don't minimize the call. If you're Epaphras, praise the Lord. You're going to Colossae. You're going to reach Colossae where Paul never did. Don't look at other people and go, I wish I was that. I wish I was that. That's the enemy. That's the enemy. That's just like Adam and Eve going, well, I mean, God doesn't want you to eat from that fruit, that tree, because then you'll be like him. You're like, you don't want to fall for those deceptions. So we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to seek God. And we still, even then, have to test the spirits, as 1 John 4:1-2 says. And then we also should be tested and confirmed by other believers in our call. So if you have a whole bunch of believers giving you good biblical reasons why they don't think that's your call, then we should listen to that too. But once you're sure of that call, once you know that's your call, be true to the call. We shouldn't just take a person's word for it when they say they're something special. Many cult leaders have done that. They weren't tested. They weren't confirmed. And people just followed them anyway. And it ended in tragedy. And sometimes even in sincere believers, and I've seen this happen recently in the last 10 years, some new believer gets put up into this high exalted position, and the Bible tells you not to do that because of the temptations coming their way. Their root system's still growing. They're not ready for that, and they fall away. These are disasters. Just trust God. Trust his word. Seek wise counsel. But again, once you know that call, let them correct you with the word. Let them correct you with the word of God. So Paul was an apostle, and he had the authority given to him by God to direct the church through this letter. That's very important. Paul saw himself as a bondservant. Why was he so bold? Because that was the call of God in his life. And if we accept his call and confirm it, we should listen to Paul. And when he convicts us, we shouldn't find fault with Paul. We have to accept his calling, right? Because our flesh really likes to find fault with the person saying something convicting. Well, you don't do that. You don't do that perfectly. I mean, if we need someone up here to be perfect, you're just going to stand at a blank podium. Because it's never going to happen. And a lot of times, and I know Rick's this way too, you're preaching something, and you maybe are the number one audience that needs to listen to it. But Paul had a call. He was an apostle. So here he is setting this foundation before he teaches them. So we should, if we acknowledge that call in Paul's life, we should listen to him and not make excuses. Let the Holy Spirit work on us. Conviction is love. When God is convicting you, he's trying to tell you now, before the Bema Seat rewards are given out. He wants you to really cash in on the Bema Seat rewards, the eternal rewards, not cash. Don't think superficially. This is eternal kingdom. Have a great impact on his eternal kingdom. And a lot of people, like the church in Colossae for Epaphras, they are there because God used him. That's what we want. I want to hit those circles and places where God said, Jason's got that, if you would just listen to me. Put your name there. I've got you there. I've got you there for a reason. That's a big reason why we shouldn't whine and complain about the places God's put us. You're there for a reason. You can't be fruitful where you're not. Be fruitful where you are. Verse 2, are saints always faithful brethren? To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So are there two different people groups here Paul is addressing? The saints, and the faithful brethren. Well, possibly. So hear me out. So we know that all believers who have been justified through their belief in Jesus Christ, they have the Holy Spirit, they're saints. But I think any of us who are saints know that we're not always faithful brethren, are we? So I'm not even sure this is what Paul was saying, but it got me thinking, and I think the Holy Spirit was leading me in this direction. So that's where I'm running with it. So we'll get in this a little bit more later, but Paul mentions his concerns in this letter down the road about some of the false teaching there was getting into the church in Colossae and in Laodicea. This letter was to be read to both churches, like I said. I already covered some of this stuff. I'm so excited to talk about some of these things that I didn't know before. So yes, like I said, some believe it was a lost letter. Others believe it may have been this was the little thing I was going to say later. So some believe maybe it wasn't even a lost letter. It might have been just a copied letter of like the Ephesian church letter or different things like that. Little nugget doesn't really make a difference to me, at least. But Paul says to both all the saints and the faithful brethren. So I would say even the saints he knows aren't being perfectly faithful brethren. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Because isn't that true? As saints, we get the free grace of God because we believed. And it was accounted to us as righteousness. Even when we do things on our own. Just like Abraham when he went and tried to bring about God's prophetic proclamation about his seed. He went out and found a concubine and started the whole Ishmael disaster, right? Paul uses a similar greeting in his other epistles. The greeting at the beginning of his letter sets a foundational reminder of who we all are in Christ Jesus. If we are truly his, if we follow him, we will be saints and faithful brethren. And he reminds them of these truths before he's going to get into the purpose of the letter, which is to correct them and protect them from some of the corruption that he knows is starting to creep into the church. The heart and purpose of the letter. And we can take that and think about that when we approach brothers and sisters in Christ, that maybe we don't just go up to them and hit them between the peepers with the big issue we have. Maybe we remind them of our common ground in Christ, that we are both believers and we love the Lord and we love his word. Amen. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Okay. Well, can I talk to you about this one thing that I wanted to talk to you about? Instead of finding that person, that one thing you know they don't agree with you on, and the first thing you see on them is you bring that thing up. And we are really good at doing that. Okay, verse 3. Thankful to God, praying always. We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. I think being thankful and filled with gratitude is something we need to remember to do every day. Every day. And who are we faithful and thankful to? God. God, who did all of this. He created all of this. He spoke all of this. He knows every little corner of the universe. None of it's forgotten by him. And I think Colossae is a good example. This little forgotten town. I didn't forget about you, Colossae. I've got a guy coming to you. He is always working, even when we don't see it. We sing that all the time. But it's true. It's true. He never takes a break. And as we are thankful to God, then we pray to God. We communicate with him. Our thankfulness while we're praying for ourselves and other believers. Asking for God's protection, for his will to be done in all our lives. All of our lives. We're all working together for the same goals. We should all be on the same page. Jesus prayed to the Father before he went to him. Father, I pray that they are one as we are one. When we approach one another, that should be our heart, trying to be one
with God and one with each other. So we can, like, our message could be the same message. Imagine if every believer was preaching the same message. And every time they saw people, and they're like, man, they are full of integrity and they're full of love and they sacrifice their own pleasures and luxuries for others. Well, what is that? That's a Christian in this world. But we don't have that, do we? We are constantly trying to come up with new ways to say what we are. I don't want to say I'm a Christian because they've kind of ruined that name. I don't want to say I'm this. I don't want to say I'm this. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. We come up with all these new sayings to break away from the people who are lukewarm and kind of ruining the label. But we should be seeking to be one without compromising the Bible. And really, we are trying as believers. Now, if you're not a believer, we want you to just trust in the Lord. Like I said earlier, we are all going to die or we're going to go in the rapture. And if you're not a believer, you're not going in the rapture. And your best bet then is a tribulation saint. But God solved it all on the cross. That's what the cross symbolizes. No one has to go to hell or the lake of fire if they would just believe in the cross. And once we believe, once we are sealed, now our job is to make sure we're working, we're doing things for the Lord. Our faith turns into action, and then at the Bema Seat, we receive rewards for being obedient to our Father. We want to be good boys and girls, good children of God, excited to go and get our A+. I don't want to go. That's how I was in school, man. I mean, D- is better than an E, I guess. And I believe it can be hard to not take God for granted. Because he's so perfect, and he's so loving, and he's so patient, long-suffering. And I take my family for granted. I take those people who are there day in and day out for granted. And it's usually some kind of rotten person in my life that has to make me go, man, I need to appreciate those people who aren't like you, right? But I don't want to have to do that. I want to stir myself up. And Peter talks about that. In 2 Peter 1:13, he talks about getting stirred up. We need to stir ourselves up, stir one another up to live for God, to keep reminding ourselves. We should be so filled with gratitude and thankfulness for God, for our call, for our salvation, for our eternal destiny and our mission that the weather is not even something that messes with us. That a broken down car doesn't really taint us, like mess with us. It's like, man, God, you've got this. You've got nothing's too big for you. You've got this. So don't allow yourself to become complacent with God, with how awesome he is. Don't forget how awesome he is. And I would say, as the days go darker and as the distractions have increased, and Rick says this all the time, we all know it, there are more distractions creeping into the church now than ever before. And I don't think it's a coincidence that God said fellowship all the more as you see that day approaching. It's to protect us. I don't know about you, but anytime I go to a small group, a youth group, when I get together with believers, I get stirred up. I get stirred up. Who doesn't want to be stirred up more? So don't let yourself get complacent with God. Read his word, fellowship all the more, pray to him, tell him how thankful you are for everything he's done. Verse 4, are people impacted by our faith in action? Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. So Paul heard of their faith. And it wasn't in spirituality. Oh, I'm very spiritual. You hear that nowadays. I'm very spiritual. Well, that doesn't do anything for you. It's got to be in Jesus Christ. Heard of your faith in Jesus Christ. And that faith produced fruit in their love for all the saints. So, like James says, faith without works is dead. dead. We don't want faith without works. The works don't save you. The works do not save you. But if you have true faith in Christ, you can't help yourself. Fruit. Fruit will abound. 30, 60, 100-fold. It's just going to happen. You can't help it. The Holy Spirit is that awesome. So don't quench the Holy Spirit. Do people see and hear of our faith in Jesus as a church, as a family, our family, and individually? Because I think sometimes we can be like, yeah, I go to this church, feel real good about it. But deep down you're like, I'm really not an active part of any of that. But we got some fruit going on. Or in our family, like, oh yeah, my sister, my mom, if it's always someone else that you're talking about, it's like, get moving. Shut off the phone, the TV. Get moving. Do others see and hear of the love we have for all the saints? And again, we're not doing this to do it for others to see it. We want to be so about it that they can't help see it and talk about it. I was a pizza delivery guy for a place. And I never really said much. It was so busy. I was always taking orders and going and delivering pizzas. And this one guy, we got talking and I said something about being a Christian. He goes, oh, I know. I go, how do you know? I never told you. He goes, you're the only person in here who doesn't swear. So it was just by not swearing that he was like, that dude's a Christian. You know, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. I would hope that we say more than that, but it was an interesting lesson for me. When you do not look like the environment you're in and everyone else does, you stand out, even in simple things like that. And remember, Paul's in prison for the gospel, for sharing the gospel. So how encouraging is it for him to hear that the mission he's got, and he's stuck in there, and you know, he's writing all these letters, but I have a feeling Paul was kind of like, man, I could be doing so much out there, to hear about what's going on in Colossae because Epaphras went there and shared the gospel. That's got to be encouraging to Paul. Probably helped him get through some days in prison. Their faith and service in Jesus Christ. I don't think it would have been encouraging to Paul if they were like, well, they're really good at listening to the message, but there's really nothing going on down there. But it's a really convicting message and they accept it. It's got to turn into something. Following Jesus can do so many things for so many different people in all different stages in this life. This is how the Holy Spirit, like we can come up with like bullet points and focus areas and all these things. Like, well, we really got to focus on that. We got to do this in this order. The Holy Spirit does it so much different and efficiently. Just live for God and watch what he does. Because while you live for God, he's ministering to unbelievers, ignorant people, doubters, excuse makers, seekers, and sincere followers of Jesus. All by just serving the Lord. You don't have to focus on those. You just live your life for God. And he'll take care of the rest. When we love and follow him and love others, we minister to all of them. The Holy Spirit ministers to all of them. God uses our obedience to bring them closer to him. And the real resistant ones, unfortunately, but this is what God says, it's going to be a testimony against them. They won't be able to say, no one ever tried to tell me. No one cared about me. Oh no. Oh no. I got all these people who cared about you and tried to tell you. Okay, verses 5 through 8, being heavenly minded does earthly good. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. The faith of our Lord and the love of others was because of the hope they knew was laid up for them in heaven. What gets us through our days when the days are getting darker, when we're hearing about AI taking jobs, when we smell pot every time we get on the road, when people are swerving and going crazy? What gets us through our day? Our destiny. We know that as the days get darker, we're getting closer to getting out of here. And I don't know about you, that doesn't make me just want to kick back and forget about all those lost people. It makes me want to let them know and warn them before it's too late. And I've mentioned this many times, I think we have a unique side benefit in the church age today that we may actually have an impact on tribulation saints after the rapture. Because I know some people who, it's just they're hearing it, but it's not clicking. And I hope and pray that when there's a mass disappearance of true believers, it's going to finally click. That's my hope. That's my hope. Hopefully that's your hope. They were so heavenly minded that it was evident in their faith and love for others in this world. See, when you're heavenly minded, you see how useless stuff here is. See for what it is. You know, you heard the guy who brings the gold brick up to heaven, and they're like, why are you bringing pavement up here? You know, I don't believe that's real. You can't bring it with you, but it's a good analogy. Like, it is. It's like, well, what is that? What are you doing? Why are you spending all your time for that? What are you doing? Like, you forget you're going to stand at the Bema seat. And all that stuff you've been clamoring for and saving for and, like, working on, and, I mean, it takes up all your time and efforts. It's gone. Gone. So where did they get this hope, faith, and this love? Through hearing the gospel, the word of truth. Who thinks the world that we go out of here into needs that? They need to know the truth. They don't know the truth. I'm going to get more into that later. They heard it. These people in this letter heard it from Epaphras, not from Paul. Epaphras. And if you remember Philemon in the letter, they mention Epaphras. He's mentioned a few times. Nothing like Paul, nothing like the apostles. Just an ordinary, obedient disciple of the Lord, not an apostle. Was he ordinary? I mean, truthfully, if the Holy Spirit has sealed you and he's in your life, none of us are ordinary. Because we're children of God. We're children of the living God. And God is going to send us where he needs us to go. And he's watching over us, and he's protecting us. There's a hedge of protection around us. Again, we are invincible until God says different. Fearlessly, recklessly abandon your cares of this world and go make a difference for God. We must all be true to God's call in our lives. When you know what God has called you to do, do it. Don't let anyone deter you from it. Don't let distractions, bad habits, laziness, complacency, unforgiveness, don't let any of those get in the way. My favorite devotional is Utmost for His Highest, and the main reason is, and this dude was like, 30-something years old when he died. So I can't even imagine like getting this wisdom from this 30-year-old, in my opinion, a kid. But what he was so good at is, if there's anything that's in between your relationship of you and Christ, get it out of the way. That is a reminder we need every single day, and that's what a devotion is. So there's my plug. There's my plug. And he didn't even write a devotion. He just taught, and his wife got all the little notes and put together a devotional. So the thing, it's so much like a God thing versus, and he made millions off of it. No, it was like, right? Amazing. like Epaphras, when God uses us to reach others, and they may be this far out person that's been forgotten by everybody else, but once we've reached them, once the Lord has reached them using us, they will now spread the gospel and reach others. And it'll spread, and it'll spread, and it'll spread, and it'll spread. Just think about this. All of us sitting here today heard the gospel, and we can trace that all the way back to Jesus and the 12 apostles. It just keeps spreading. It keeps spreading. Epaphras not only shared the gospel with them and ministered to them, but he was also encouraging the other believers in the churches with their belief and love in the Spirit. And Roy and I have talked about this on small groups and like men's groups. But sometimes, you know, you got this nice mature group and you kind of throw things out and you kind of know where they're going before they get there. And it's great. It's great. And you don't realize that the embers maybe have kind of started to cool a little bit because you're still having a great time. But then a new believer comes in and it's like, you know, when you put a new log on a fire with the embers and it starts up again, man, that is refreshing. That's what the church is all about. We're spreading the gospel, starting the fire, right? Letting it go and keep throwing logs on it. I've had some bonfires that it was making like a jet sound. I made that thing too big. Well, in the church, let's do that. That'd be great. They were walking in the Spirit. They're bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And later, as we study this epistle down the road, again, epistle is letter, we'll see there were people trying to distort the gospel and bring in legalism. That's kind of what Paul was warning them about. Legalism, philosophy, empty deceit, according to the tradition of men and basic principles of this world, not according to Christ. Huh. It's like Paul was writing a letter to the church today. We have all these things. We're dealing with all these things now. We must keep our faith in Christ alone, not in anyone or anything else. This is all about Jesus Christ. We shouldn't get sick of talking about Jesus Christ, because if we are, we're getting complacent. He did it all. He did it all. All to him we owe. We were bought at a great price. The church in Laodicea and Colossae eventually ceased to exist. So I'm giving you a spoiler alert. Eventually they did. They both died out. Colossae isn't even a town. It's just like land, some land. The true believers died and the remnants fell for the deception of Satan, the world, and the flesh. And we are seeing this happen today in many churches. Churches that once were known for their obedience and their methods. And they've fallen away. And they're doing strange things. And they're allowing strange things. And their sermons sometimes have no mention of Jesus Christ. And their sermons, when they do reference Scripture, which is rare, take it out of context. It's to please people. It's to tickle ears. So we're seeing this happen today. What happened eventually to those churches in Laodicea and Colossae are happening to churches today. We are seeing the apostasy happen. Where is the Holy Spirit power in those churches? We must remain true to Jesus Christ and his word. Bereans, holding tight to it. And we have to take what we're learning and going out and sharing the good news and telling those people where they can hear the word of God. If you know of a Bible-believing and teaching church, reference them there. Anyone you do, here or wherever you do. My hesitancy is, and I tried to do this, was find these churches that we could like partner with. And the thing is today they may be and tomorrow they may not be. And it's hard. Because it's happening, it's spreading so badly, it's hard. But that's the only way we're going to bear fruit through the power of the Holy Spirit is by remaining true to Christ and true to our calling. supporting one another in our calling. You may not be an evangelist, but if the evangelist needs help, help him out. Help him. Spread the word, make tracks, whatever it is. Because there's really nothing that we can raise our hands up and go, I'm not an evangelist, so I don't tell anyone about the good news. No, you're just not called. You don't have the same power of the Holy Spirit behind your calling in that area, but you do in other areas. And then we work together as a body. I'm sure you guys have felt that way. You know, like in a body context, you're trying to do something, and you're like, man, I cannot do this. I need an index finger and a thumb guy to come over here and help me with this. Because this hip thing's not working. I can't grip it. I can't, you know, in the church, you need all these pieces. You need all the parts of the body to get the job done. Jesus was perfect. We're not. We just got little pieces. And we need all of us to bring up, to be his body, his hands, his feet. But you're not just his hand. You're not his foot. You need all of us to be all parts. So help each other. Okay, some final thoughts. Stay true to God's call in our lives. Once we know what God said and called us to do, to be, we have to be faithful and obedient to his calling. Don't make excuses. Don't let anyone deter you from that call. And it can come from unlikely sources, unexpected sources. Real quick, this is in my notes, but when I was, we were losing our jobs at the Air Guard base, and the Lord told me, stay here and tell people about me. So that's what I did. And my chief was a believer. And he was worried about me because he knew I had this large family and I got to provide for him. So he, thinking he's coming up alongside me to help me, he said, Jason, the Lord gave you a brain for a reason and you need to apply to a job out in Detroit. Because the job was there. They wanted me to go out there. I could stay working on A-10s. So he was trying to do the right thing, but really I believe the enemy was using him to give me that message. That wasn't from the Lord. So we have to test the spirits. Don't let anyone deter you. It could be a good, well-meaning, Holy Spirit filled believer. Well, I would say they're not filled if they're giving you that bad advice, but they have the Holy Spirit. They're just quenching it a little bit to give you some bad advice, but test it. Test it. That's one example. Don't be paranoid that everybody's got bad intentions or anything like that. I knew he was sincere and he cared, but if I would have listened to him, I'm not here with you guys. I wouldn't know any of you guys. Stay true to God's call in our life. And as saints, we should be faithful brethren. Once we're born again, we are saints, and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, but we know we can quench the Holy Spirit within us. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. I mean, we could add that into our prayer life in the morning. Lord, please help me not quench the Holy Spirit. We need to make sure that we are faithful brethren to God. Be thankful and pray always in all things, especially for others. I mean, worry gets you nowhere. Nothing gets done with worrying. But if we understood the power in prayer, that's where things get done. We've talked about this before. You could be on your deathbed. You can still pray. You can move mountains from your deathbed. In your bed, you have no energy. Pray. Pray for the believers. Pray for saints. Pray for unbelievers. Pray for the lost. Pray for the person that you never got to say that thing to. Pray that God brings another believer across their path. Pray, pray, pray. Stay stirred up and reminded of who our God is. He wants you to pray to him. He wants you to get him moving in these areas. He's empowered you to do so through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is coming back soon, folks. All the signs are pointing up, up, up. Everywhere I turn, even when I'm trying not to think about it, up, up, up. And I'm in IT, and I'm telling you right now, they are pushing AI hard. Google right now, 3 out of 4 development initiatives are done by AI. It used to take 4 developers. There's 1 now. 3 are happening there. We just had at our job showed us how it told the details. They call them agents. They got a special task to do. They're writing the code. They're writing the documentation. They're doing it all. It's doing it all. And I'm not even looking for this. I'm just seeing it happen, built around me. And you know what gets me through my day and not worried about it, worried about my kids and my grandkids growing up in this? I'm heavenly minded. The darker it gets here, the brighter my light shines. And when I see these young, impressionable developers who are brilliant, who aren't believers yet, and I see them worried, I get to come up alongside them and help them and calm them, and they get to talk to me, and they know I go to church and I believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. The Lord can do something with that. Are people impacted by our faith in action, like they were by Epaphras and the people in Colossae? We must make sure we aren't only bold for the Lord in Christian circles. Kind of like it's easy to say it, it's kind of easy to say it to each other and then get gun-shy when we're out and about, right? It's easier to talk bold here in a small group here than it is out there. But just like working out, you know, you might start out, okay, that 15-pounder was kind of heavy. I'm looking at some of you muscle guys. I'm like, okay, maybe I should start with 50 pounds. But, you know, you start lifting and you're like, whoa, that hurt. And then later you're like, wow, that is easy. Well, the same thing with sharing your faith. The same thing with just little nuggets. One thing I say at work is have a blessed day. It stands out. And when someone says have a blessed day to me, I'm like, I know what you're doing. Are people impacted by our faith in action? We must make sure we aren't only bold for the Lord in Christian circles, but out and about in the world, looking for opportunities to give a reason for the hope that we have. Man, how are you so level-headed when AI is going to take our jobs? How are you so level-headed? Okay, I gotta just say this. This isn't in my notes. How far am I off here? If there was ever a time to almost make jokes about false peace deals. I mean, I don't know. Is the Strait of Hormuz open again or is it closed? I don't know. I keep being told it's a done deal. It's here. And then it's like, oh, we bombed them. I'm like, give me a break. Us believers should be like, there is false peace abounding everywhere. Nobody knows what they're talking about. This is a spiritual war, folks. There's spiritual battles going on, and the stage is being set, and it's almost like the game pieces are all in place, and we're just waiting for God to go, okay, let's start rolling the dice. But before you do, not my bride. Not my bride. And as the world's doing this, these unbelievers, these seekers, these excuse makers, they're starting to lose their excuses. They're starting to get rattled. I mean, I see it in people, the way they talk. A lot of these developers are like, yeah, I got friends who are like 80 grand in debt and they can't get a job in IT. And they're not believers. So there's opportunities to help them see that this is way more than just a job and a retirement one day. There's way more at stake. So we need to be standing for what is right when the masses are silent. We know the truth. Most do not. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. Most do not. If we don't speak up, who's going to? And who wants you to keep silent for who you truly are in Christ? Satan, the enemy. He wants you to just not care about them and let them go down that wide path that leads to destruction because you're good to go. That's not a saint's attitude. That's not a faithful brethren's attitude. Let people see our good works of faith so they may seek and worship our Lord in heaven. He died for them too. And like we talked about, there's no corners of the universe that he doesn't see and doesn't know. He's sending us there for a reason. You are in that place for a reason, and it's to share the good news. We have Holy Spirit power. We are God's children, and we are invincible until he calls us home. God has chosen us, saints, in these last days to remain faithful. The restrainer. Our country is about to celebrate 250 years this Saturday. That doesn't happen without a restrainer-filled church doing its job. We're passing the average lifespan of governments. Now, I know we got our problems in our governments, but church, the Lord has blessed this nation because of our support for Israel and because there's a church here that's pushing back against the evil. God chose us to be here in these days. As we see the apostasy happening and the falling away happen, he is entrusting us to be here. And like I said, as the world gets darker and darker and things get worse and worse, our light shines brighter and brighter if we just take our faith and put it into action. So as we see the Antichrist system building around us, as we see all these things, let's take this message and look for the little Colossians in all of our lives and go be like Epaphras and spread the word. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this message. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this letter to Colossae. And Lord, thank you for the obedience of Epaphras being such an example to us. Lord, that you use every single one of us. And Lord, I just pray that you take away our excuses and bring to surface, refine us and bring to surface things in our lives that we know we have to take care of so we can better serve you. Lord, we pray every day to keep us from temptation, Lord. And I just pray that any addictions we're dealing with, that that's exactly what those addictions are, Lord, temptations. So help us to break away from anything that keeps us coming back and regretting our actions and our bad habits. Lord, help us to have good habits. Help us to serve you. Help us to take care of this temple of the Holy Spirit, in our bodies, Lord, and help us to do all that we can to be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have and always be listening for that still small voice to take our faith and put it into action. In Jesus' name, amen.